Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Believe myself, and I think that's a good lesson to sort of take away. Is it's really easy to underestimate what you can achieve over the long term, and everyone sort of tends to overestimate what they can do in 6 months and or 12 months.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors, find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategy. In this episode, we talk with Michael Ossett, a Sydney-based property investor with over 18 years of experience in the field and a $3.8 million property portfolio to prove it. Ossett shares his view on Australia's retirement struggles and explains why diversification and property renovation are two key strategies to successful property investment. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. While Ossett's previous professional experiences in design and development certainly contributed to his success, the most essential factor leading up to this was his calculated mindset. When buying his first property, however, he identifies the risk of investment as something that was holding him back.
I think when you buy the first one, whether it's a place for you to live in yourself or your first investment property, I think just the thought of losing money or the risk of losing money definitely plays a big part in your mind. You know, it's probably the biggest asset that anybody will ever purchase, or at least the most expensive. And I think that fear of losing money certainly plays a part in it, and it did for us. But you know, we went through the process of researching areas and buying sensibly. Buying below market value and adding value by renovation and utilizing my experience in design and construction. And I think once we got comfortable with the notion that, you know, this thing wasn't going to lose value, then, you know, we could take steps towards doing it.
In overcoming his fear of risk, Ossett has been able to start his own investment advisory and buyer's agency, transforming his experiences into consulting information for his clients. However, he does credit some of his knowledge to a few authors and their books.
I think one of the early resources that I took an interest in was really reading books on anything and everything, sort of finance, personal investment, and property. And you know, having moved to Australia, that passion came with me, and you know, started reading books by Australian authors, really from when we were here. And you know, some of the classics, the Jan Summers books and Margaret Lomas books were really a great introduction to property as an investment in Australia. And I think, you know, reading those sort of books and being inspired by other people that have built big portfolios definitely alleviates any hesitation in the risks that you take and obviously risking your savings.
With due diligence and patience, Ossett built on his foundations by constantly researching and making sure he understood the numbers before committing to any property investment.
When you're buying a property, you really want to understand what it is that you're buying before you do commit to it. So doing the research, understanding the numbers, and you know, I think you've got to put the same level of detail into buying a property as you would an individual share. And you know, you can pay consultants to help you do that, just like you can, I suppose, a buyer's agent or strategist for property.
Ossett believes that his profits from property investment were worth the mental stress of risk-taking and the hard work on accumulating background knowledge. However, what has been the reason behind his quest to build on his already multi-million dollar property portfolio on top of running a successful advisory business?
So I think why is important. I think that's the number one thing to get in place first. And that's something I work with my clients now to really ascertain is you're not buying property for the sake of it or because it's the cool thing to do or everybody else is doing it. There's got to be a reason behind it and a big picture. And for us, the why was really to get to a position where we had a passive income coming through from the portfolio that meant we didn't have to work full time until we're 65 or even 70 or 75, as the case might be, as people age to retirement in Australia. And, there was a time when I was working in the corporate world and although I enjoyed it, it was something I couldn't see myself doing for another 30 or 35 years. And so really the why is, to get to a position to be able to have an income coming through, whether you get up in the morning and go and do a job or work or a business or whatever it is and have that income there.
Ossett claims that the passive income from modern Australian superannuation is not enough to sustain a comfortable lifestyle after one's retirement.
Absolutely, and I think the pension in Australia is not going to be enough for people to rely on. And when I sit down with clients and really ask them, how do they see their retirement funds playing out? And the level of superannuation that some people have, and really when you're looking at it now and continue to pay 9.5% or even 10%, it's probably not going to be enough to give people the lifestyle that they really want and deserve later in life. And I think property offers that opportunity to build equity and build a passive income down the track that you can rely on. Well, I think if you were looking at having 100,000 clear, you'd probably need in excess of 2 million, I would have said, in super. Even if you get in a cash return of 5% from that, and you've obviously got to take tax off that as well. And 100,000 now will be less in the future as well. So you've got to factor in inflation into that.
As such, Ossett considers his profits from property investment to be future beneficiaries and continues to invest purely for his own and his family's future.
Super is one of those things that sort of people forget about until later in life. They see it as a forced element that comes out of their pay slip every fortnight or month, and kind of people just leave it on the default setting. And the government have put things in place to try and increase that compulsory contribution by raising it to 9.5, and there was talk of raising it further, but who knows what's going to happen with that. But I think I read a stat somewhere that said you really need to be putting close to 15% of your salary into super from early in your career right through till the day you retire to really have enough to continue that salary that you used to. Many people get to retirement age and then the income that comes through is significantly less than what they were on. And many people have to continue to work well into their 70s to offset that.
He believes that the best advice he's received is an encouragement to take on opportunities when they arise.
I think the best advice I had was kind of on that theme. Really was to sort of take the position that good enough is good enough. So you've got to do enough research and due diligence to make sure that an investment is going to do what you want it to do. But at the same time, you do need to take action on it. I think if you procrastinate too long and you try and find the perfect investment, something that's 100% perfect, you'll never get started. So really, yeah, good enough is good enough, and get going with it and start today.
Combining his background research coming into the industry with motivation to begin investing, Ossett's mindset was key to his success in both his portfolio and his business.
following on from what I just said, I think diligence. I've always been an extremely diligent person. I think whatever it is that I do, I always seek to do the best job possible. So obviously looking right into the detail and ensuring that, you know, thorough research has been carried out. And I think this helps enormously in building a comprehensive strategy around our portfolio and actually carrying it out with care and due diligence. And I think I've carried out or carried over that habit into our business, to ensure that whatever we do, whether it's servicing clients or communicating, that we do everything in the best possible way and making sure it's in the client's best interest. And I think that quality of customer service and commitment to doing the right thing has been really well received by everybody that we've worked with and worked alongside.
Coming up after a break, we'll delve into Michael Ossett's strategy and how he built a successful portfolio from his adding value in renovation strategy.
You know, we spent nearly a month renovating that property to add value to it, but also increase the rent that property could achieve from the start. And really, that was the strategy to begin with.
To the simple but successful buy and hold strategy.
So the two in Brisbane, as I say, were low maintenance, just purely buy and hold for the long term.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Are you looking at buying or investing in property? Like, what are the property hotspots, or how do I start my portfolio? Clever ways to renovate and how to make an extra $50,000? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts at the Property Buy Expo in Brisbane on the 26th to 27th of May. Use the promo code PI for a free 2-day pass valued at $50. For tickets and more information, visit the website at propertybuyexpo.com.au. Now back to the show. Supported by his detailed background research and previous experiences with design and development, Ossett's first property was a success.
We got into the first property or the first investment and really stuck to what we knew at the time, and it has bode well for us. But really that was, you know, a Sydney asset that we could add value to. So as I say, it was a original condition apartment, and we spent nearly a month renovating that property to add value to it, but also increase the rent that property could achieve from the start. And really that was the strategy to begin with. Was what I call a buy, renovate and then hold strategy. So we did that with the first one, and then when we sold our original principal place of residence and bought our second one, we followed the same strategy. So we bought a house in the Northern Beaches. Again, it was an older house that needed a lot of work doing to it, which meant we could buy it for a good price because a lot of people were put off by it. But, you know, we could see the potential of the property, and we bought that and have been adding value to it ever since. With that particular property as well, although we were buying it for ourselves, we had a bit of an investment mentality with it. So the house that we bought was actually a split level house that the previous owner had rented out separately. And we saw that as a bit of a golden opportunity to get a bigger place for ourselves, but also gain an income from it. And we've rented the other half of our house out for going on 5 years now. And, you know, the rent from that has covered half the mortgage, and, you know, cash flow wise, we're spending less than we did for our apartment before that.
After buying two properties in Sydney, Ossett furthered his portfolio by investing in a property in Queensland and South Australia.
So after we were sort of holding our two Sydney properties, we started to see the growth come through them from the value that we'd manufactured, but also with the market at the beginning of 20, 2012, 2013, and we managed to borrow against that equity to further the portfolio. And we took a slightly different strategy in terms of diversifying. So we wanted to buy outside of Sydney, outside of New South Wales. So we bought two houses up in Brisbane, but we bought houses that were less than 10 years old. So they were kind of a set and forget property, low maintenance, and had a good cash flow coming through from day one. And really that was to help balance out the portfolio. We had plans of starting a family in the not too distant future. And for us, cash flow was critical. And so getting into that helped really balance the portfolio.
He was smart about diversification, purposely choosing to invest in property in Brisbane and Adelaide due to their predicted growth and positive cash flow.
So we got two houses up in Brisbane in Queensland, and then the next two we bought in Adelaide, in South Australia. I suppose when we bought into Brisbane, that was a case of buying outside of New South Wales at a price point that was accessible to us with the equity that was available, and really doing the research around growth areas and yield at the time to be able to give us a cash flow that really covered itself. So those properties were sort of positive cash flow from day one once the depreciation was taken into account. And it really meant that we weren't forfeiting much of our disposable income to be able to hold them. The reason Brisbane at the time was, I suppose, it's going back 3 or 4 years and the focus was on Brisbane at the time, thinking that Sydney couldn't go much further. And what's eventuated is that Sydney continued to grow. And what we're actually starting to see now is that focus reappearing on Brisbane as people are certainly priced out of Sydney and Melbourne. And so hopefully we should start to see some good capital growth coming through on those properties.
He looked to make profits by preparing to hold his properties for the long term rather than selling out unexpectedly.
The strategy was kind of mixed between Brisbane and Adelaide. So the two in Brisbane, as I say, were low maintenance, just purely buy and hold for the long term. But then to balance that out and diversify further, the two houses that we bought in Adelaide were not too dissimilar really to the Sydney strategy in terms of buying older properties on good blocks of land. And then the idea is to hold them and then develop them down the track, probably in about eight years now. So the idea was that they'd been partially renovated not too long before we bought them. So they had good depreciation benefits on them at the time, but it meant that we could depreciate out that value for, say, 10 years and then look to knock down and build townhouses on those blocks. And really give us, development opportunity down the track. No, definitely. And I think that's key for anybody building a portfolio is that you've really got to set out a plan up front and work out, what is your capacity, what can you buy and where, and ultimately what's the cash flow look like coming through from those properties. So many people jump into property investment without understanding the numbers. And 3 or 4 years down the track, realize that, they're hemorrhaging money and they can't afford to hold on to it anymore. And even, clients that we've sat down with have bought property with a whim, on a whim a few years ago. And now, they're in negative equity and the cash flow is hurting. And, for them, they've, got to look at the option of selling them or reinvesting the funds somewhere else. So I think if you do the research and plan up front, you can avoid those mistakes.
Ossett also reassures investing beginners by pointing out that more often than not, they underestimate what they can achieve over the long term.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in not really having any regrets about, things you've done in the past. It's all lessons in life. But I think if I met myself 10 years ago and told him where I would be now, I probably wouldn't believe him or believe myself. And I think that's a good lesson to sort of take away is it's really easy to underestimate what you can achieve over the long term. And everyone sort of tends to overestimate what they can do in 6 months and or 12 months. And I think, yeah, that passion that we've carried forward in terms of building the portfolio has really just compounded over time. And, you know, as every year goes by, it just gets bigger and bigger. I think if I was going to sort of say anything else, that'd be it really follow the same strategy that we've done is really put thought into it up front and keep pursuing opportunities, whether that's in investment or in a professional career or whatever it is. If a door opens, then, you know, and jump through it and take the opportunity that presents itself and really follow your passion. I mean, that was a sort of changing moment for me into starting the business. But yeah, if there's any sort of negative things that I would change again, it'd probably be to sort of curb some of the wasted spending, I suppose, that we did early on. Although we, you know, we were diligent savers. I think if I went back, there's a few purchases along the way that I probably wouldn't make again. You know, things that lose the value or you don't use after a while. And, you know, if you can be quite strict in that sense, you can really compound your savings and leverage even further, you know, in time.
For the future of his portfolio, Ossip believes that his passion for both his business and property investment will drive him into purchasing more properties, making larger profits and generating a steady cash flow to take his family on holidays.
Personally, with our portfolio, our strategy is to build on that with at least another 4 properties. And the original strategy was with the classic sort of 10 properties in, you know, in 10 years. And although it's a bit of a cliche strategy, it held true with us and we've kind of built our portfolio around that. And, you know, the target is really to get that valuation to at least 8 million in about 10 or 11 years. And really that was the goal for us to secure a good enough passive income to you know, do things later on in life and give us the options to travel and do things with the family. And the other thing I'm really excited about, I suppose professionally, is really building or continuing to build a great property advice and buyer's agency business and helping as many other people as possible, you know, on a one-to-one level and help them invest into property strategically and also successfully.
For readers both beginning in investment and those already in the field, Ossett recommends Jan Summers' books.
I think everybody looking to get into property investment or is already in it, I think should definitely read the Jan Summers books. You know, they're written quite a few years ago, but I think her strategies for wealth creation, you know, still hold true today. And I think she's been a guest on you know, on other podcasts where she said the same, that, you know, she hasn't really changed her strategy over the years and kept true to what she set out to do. I think another one that stuck out for me was probably Robert Kiyosaki's book, The Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think it was a bit of a short classic book that really did a good job of explaining the fundamentals of accumulating, appreciating assets as opposed to just accumulating, you know, lifestyle assets and depreciating assets like cars and furniture and clothing and things like that. But no, that was a great book. And I think, you know, I think everyone should read that one as a bit of an introduction. And then more recently, probably within the last 5 years, I think books by Pete Wargent are well worth a read by anybody interested in personal finance, property investment and wealth creation. I think the way that the Pete gets over the content and the strategies in a simple form that anyone can understand. Yeah, they're a great book to read.
For those who are interested in Michael Ossett and his strategies to invest in property, Ossett's business offers a wide range of consultations for different groups of investors.
So our business is Strand Property Group. But two parts to the business. The first part is investment advisory, and that's where we help clients put together long-term plans and strategies around building property portfolios. And that That can be on a national basis. You know, we'll look at all different options for our clients and really put a blueprint in place to get them started. And that's certainly targeted towards, you know, the professional couple who might have cash savings or equity built up in their existing property. And they want to leverage on that and start to build a property portfolio. So we help them strategize. But then the other part of the business is, as you mentioned, the buyer's agency business. So so we specialize in the Lower North Shore, Northern Beaches, areas around Manly and French's Forest. And then the sort of inner sort of city east areas like Paddington, Surrey Hills, Bondi Junction. And again, that our sort of value approach is, you know, helping people, helping professionals save time. You know, a lot of professional people are very time poor. They don't have time to go out searching properties during the week, and especially on weekends when they want to spend time with friends and family. But also, you know, saving them stress. The whole process of buying properties is quite stressful. And, you know, we do that that whole end-to-end service to hold their hand through the process and make it as easy as possible. And then, obviously, we try and save them money as well by negotiating well, buying the property at the right price, ensuring that people don't overpay, especially with the changing market in Sydney. It's very easy for someone who doesn't understand the market to pay, you know, what would have been prices 6 months ago. And really take a read on the market. But yeah, I suppose our point of difference is really my experience that I brought to the business in terms of design and construction, you know, having an eye for detail and understanding how buildings go together. So when we inspect properties, you know, I can immediately see whether there's going to be potential issues or anything stands out as a potential problem, even before we have a building and pest report done.
For more details on Strand Property Group and Michael Ossett, visit their website and download their Introduction to Property Investment Guide.
Head to our website, which is strandpropertygroup.com.au. That's got our phone number and contact details down the bottom of that page. And yeah, if anybody's interested in property investment in general, we've got a great PDF download on there, which is a good intro to invest in, and that includes my 7 key elements of successful investing. So if someone wants to go on there and put their details in, they can get a free copy of that.
Thank you to Michael Ossett, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, visit our website at propertyinveststory.com. Simply type in the search bar Michael Ossett and select that episode to learn more about his story. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send out exclusively via email, then head over to propertyinveststory.com and subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com to receive your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.